We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 2, the Lord had sent a man of God, and he told Eli that his house was going to be brought down. He was going to judge his house forever. And now we come to chapter 3, and here we're told of the calling of Samuel and the raising up of Samuel to be a prophet in Israel. And something that encourages my heart about that is he was bringing an end to the house of Eli, and it was going to return back to, this is where it would actually return back to Aaron's first sons, the eldest of, well, there was four, but the other two died, but the firstborn one before this current son of Aaron, it had somehow switched over to Eli. I don't know how. Nobody seems to know how, but now it's going to go back to the other one. And what encourages me about this is that the Lord will not be without a witness for his people. So he was bringing down Eli, but he was raising up, before he did that, he was raising up Samuel first, because Eli had been a judge. Eli was a high priest, but he had been a judge, and now Samuel's not a high priest, but he is now the judge of Israel, and he's going to make sure that the sacrifices will be done right, because they're pictures of Christ. They show us pictures of Christ when done right. What these men, what Eli's sons were doing was nothing like the gospel. It didn't show us the gospel. It was a false gospel. It was a burden and a trouble to the people. So that was going away, and the Lord was going to raise up Samuel. And so historically, that's what this chapter describes here. But just like our Lord does in all his word, he's giving us a picture, a gospel picture. He's showing us the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does for us. And so, just as an outline, the first four verses, this chapter is 21 verses, but the first four verses speak of what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us by his redeeming work. It's an outline. We'll see. You'll see it. I'll show it to you. We'll see Christ there. And then the rest of the chapter speaks of his work of grace in the hearts of his people. That's the result of his redeeming grace, of what he does. So let's begin in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So at this time in Israel, there's no king. This is before there was ever a king. There was no Saul, no David, no Solomon, no other kings after that. This is the time of the judges. This is the time of the judges. And at this time, the people would go to Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle of the Lord was. The temple hadn't been built until Solomon was king, and it was established in Jerusalem. But here it is in Shiloh. And so the people would come there to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And we're told that the word of the Lord was precious, meaning it was rare. It was rare in those days. There was no open vision. And that meant that the people were not being given an understanding of the mystery of God. It wasn't being made known to them. They didn't see the gospel. They didn't see Christ in what they were doing. There may have been some, but not a lot. And Eli certainly wasn't teaching them this. And his sons certainly, by what they were doing, wasn't showing Christ in the sacrifices. It was very fleshly and carnal what they were doing. Now, like this time, when Christ came into the world, when the Son of God was made flesh and he came into the world, we could say that the Word of God was precious in those days. It was rare. In those days, there wasn't an open vision at that time until just before Christ came. There were some people that knew the truth. There was Simeon and Anna, and there were some people to whom it was revealed, like Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias. There were some people that it was revealed to, but not many. Not many. It wasn't open. It wasn't being made known. And in fact, when you look at the Gospels, when you look at Luke, we're told that there were people that were troubled. Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled when the kings came, when the wise men came from the east. They were troubled at this news that the Christ was born. They were troubled by that. And so they weren't looking for Christ. And we're told that in John, right? We're told that he came unto his own and his own received him not. And they weren't looking for him. And at the time, who was teaching the people? Who was leading the people? Well, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And while they were very strict in their adherence to the law, yet they weren't opening the vision. They weren't opening to the Lord the gospel. And that's why they weren't looking for Christ or expecting him in the way that he came. They didn't know him. They rejected him. They didn't receive him when he came. And so through Christ, through his work, through his grace, that's how we know the mystery of God. So when Christ came, that word wasn't known. But after Christ has come, after he came and redeemed his people, he gave his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit into the world upon the people, and the Holy Spirit gives us life. And now by the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, he makes that call, that word effectual in our hearts. He gives us his Spirit. Otherwise, before a Spirit comes, we don't know or understand the things of God. They're foreign to us. They don't make any sense. They're foolishness. They're nonsense. But now by his grace, it's made living. And it's made effectual to us because of his grace, because of his work. And so now we have an understanding of the mystery of God. Now we know we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. He reveals the Father to us. When we look to Christ, we see and know the love of God. We know the power of God, the grace of God, the calling of God. We know these things through Christ. And without him, we don't know the true and living God. And we know that God receives us and accepts us for Christ's sake. That's how we come, and that's how we worship God. And that gives us great peace and comfort because he's shown us what we are in ourselves, that otherwise we can't do it. We're not perfect. We've transgressed the law of our God. And so the mystery of God is revealed through the gospel. And that gospel regards the salvation of God's people. It speaks of his redeeming grace. It speaks of what God did by his Son to save his people from their sins and give us life and an expected end in Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see this, and then we'll come back to our text. But 1 Corinthians 15. Here Paul describes to us the gospel. And he doesn't elaborate on every single point, but this is the gospel. And this touches on what our Lord did for us. 1 Corinthians 15, picking up in verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And what he's saying there is, enduring faith is what new creatures do. You that live don't live by your strength and your ability or your flesh. It's because God has given you faith. And that faith endures. Endures to the end. Born of his grace. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So, understanding that he died, was buried, and rose again, that's what we're going to see in the next three verses, the next few verses, especially verse 3 and 4. We're going back there now. So there's something going on here that's a little deeper than Samuel's calling here. There's a picture of the gospel touched on in these verses so that Samuel is seen as a type of Christ here. In these couple verses, he's seen as a type of Christ who was raised up by God, prepared by God, sent to for us to save us. All right, and we'll see that. Just as Jonah, right, the prophet Jonah, when you read that, you don't necessarily, without the Spirit, you don't see this is speaking of Christ. Our Lord said the sign that you're given is a sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He was given as a sign for us. Well, we're given a sign here. We're given a sign here of the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection. So let's see that. Verse 2, and it came to pass, this is 1 Samuel 3, 2, it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And so these verses, they give reference to the gospel. They speak of the gospel and what our Lord and Savior did. When it says in verse 2, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, that lamp of God was never to go out. It was never to go out, and it has a spiritual meaning for us. You know, historically, in this passage, speaking of Eli, it shows that before that light entirely left him and God called Samuel to be a judge, before that happened, Eli would help. He would be a helper there in speaking and telling Samuel what he was hearing here. But this speaks of Christ. So the gospel in this testifies that Christ came into the world before the people of God were lost, before the light of God was taken away from Israel. That's when Christ came. He came when all seemed to be lost and they were worshiping according to the flesh. That's when Christ came. And the law had served its purpose. The law did what it was supposed to do. You know, we'll see as we go through Genesis in our other study there that Moses, when it came time for the people of God to go into the promised land, was it Moses that led them into the promised land? That led them over Jordan? Not at all. Not at all, because Moses pictures the law. He's the one who gave us the law. And so the Lord laid Moses down to rest, and the people were brought into the promised land, went in and conquered Jericho on the other side of Jordan by Joshua, or Yeshua, or Jesus, right? A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't Moses. Well, Eli's eyes were growing dim that he could not see. And that's a picture to tell us, you that are coming to God by the law, by the works of the law, you're coming in darkness. You're coming blind. You're coming not in the truth. You don't see, you don't hear what the law is saying. You're trying to come to God in the law with your own righteousness, making a righteousness for yourselves by the works of the law. And so we don't come that way. And those who come that way, they only hear Christ speak in parables. They only hear Christ speak in parables. They don't understand what the gospel is saying to us, that it's finished. The work is finished in and by Christ. You can't make yourselves more righteous than Christ has made you. And coming with other works to try and make a righteousness for yourselves, God the Father will not receive it. He will not receive you in your works. Our Lord said of them that come, that cannot hear, it's because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, they do not understand. And so Paul tells us the purpose of the law. In Galatians 3:24, he says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." Now those words "to bring us" aren't even in the original. and not in the original. And so it's wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto or until Christ. That's what the law was given to bring us unto, to keep Israel until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. By faith. So the first truth that the Lord saves us, one of the things that the Lord does in his coming and bring us the gospel is he shows us we cannot make a righteousness for ourselves by the law. That's not why the law was given. It was given to show us our sin, to show us our iniquity, so that we would come in Christ. Paul also said in Romans 3:19-20, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. It says it to shut our mouths, to cease our boasting before God, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so the law doesn't tell us what to do. Do A, B, and C, and put away D, and do this or don't do that. That's not what the law was given to do. It wasn't given to tell us and instruct us how to be righteous, because you can't be. You either are righteous before God or you're a sinner. And we are all corrupt sinners, ruined in the fall in Adam. And so the law wasn't given to be a guide to tell you how to make yourselves righteous. You're either righteous or you're not. Christ and Christ alone gives life. He makes righteous his people. Only he has that power to do that. And so when we look to the law, when we look rightly at the law, we see I'm a sinner. I've offended God. And the more I look at the law, the more I see myself a sinner, a vile, wretched sinner, undone before holy God who sees all things and sees my heart. So the second truth now is that the gospel reveals to us the purpose of God to send his son when the word was made flesh to redeem his people from their sins. It says in verse 3, "An heir or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." So Christ is the light of the world. And the Father sent the Son, he spared him not, and Christ went willingly to the cross, and he died. He died, and he was laid in a grave. He was buried in a tomb. When he died in the place of his people. And so that's what's being pictured here. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Before the light went out, Samuel was laid down to sleep. So that this is a picture of Christ, our surety, who went to the cross and obtained eternal redemption for us. Obtained life for his people as the sin-bearing sacrifice. There he gave his life to make an atonement for our sins. And he died, and we died with him to deliver us from the law, so that the law has nothing to say to the people who are redeemed by Christ. We died to the law that we might be married to another, even Christ. Even Christ. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now there's a third thing here. In this fourth verse, there's a third thing here that teaches us the gospel. And this is what our Lord did when he rose again. He justified his people. It says here in verse 4 that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And that's a picture of what Christ has done. Having satisfied the Father, and in his sacrifice for his people, the Father was well pleased. And so he raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead to declare to us. He makes known what he's done to show us that the debt is settled. Justice is satisfied. God is well pleased with all you that believe on Christ. You're justified. You're justified because that's exactly how the Father tells his people to come to him in the blood of Christ. He's justified you because Christ is raised from the dead. He's raised from the dead. And so that's why we hear this good news of salvation preached and declared through the gospel and the giving of his Holy Spirit to make that call effectual in your hearts for whom Christ shed his blood. That's why it's made effectual to you. That's why you believe, why you come, because our God is the God who saves. Christ obtained eternal redemption for his people. And I can't help but think of that verse in Hebrews 2:13 when it says Samuel came and said, "Here am I. Here am I." What do we see there? "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." When our Savior came and appeared before the Father, "Here they are, Lord. All the children you gave me, I've redeemed them. I've brought them forth. I've obtained redemption for my people." So that's the gospel. That's the mystery revealed there in those verses. In those verses. That's the gospel there. And so we see what Christ did in redemption, and all the verses that follow are speaking to the calling of our God who calls his people. So now Samuel here ceases to be a picture of Christ, and now the rest of the chapter we see him as a type of the believer, one who is called of God. Look what it says. We'll start in verse 4 and verse 5 again, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledst me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And so Samuel here, his first impression is that from the Lord's call is that Eli had called him. Eli is the priest, and he thought Eli had called him. Why? He never heard the voice of the Lord. He never heard the voice of the Lord, and so he didn't recognize this call. Well, similarly, there's many who hear the word preached, and it affects them in different ways. It affects them in a way that they've never heard it before, right? So oftentimes we grow up in church services. We come and we hear, we go to the services, and maybe we were there because it appealed to some reasoning that we had, or our parents brought us there, and so that's why we went to services. But when the Lord makes his word effectual to your hearts, when you are called, it comes with power. It's the day of grace for you. You're not there now because your mom and dad brought you there. You're there now because you've heard the word. You know I'm the sinner. I need his grace. I need his mercy. And so that word comes powerfully, dividing asunder the soul and spirit. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I remember back in New Jersey, some people, I remember, you know, we had a lot of young people there. And one day, one of the young men who was still in high school, he heard the preaching, just like he always hears that preaching. And when he got home, he was mad with his mother and his father. And he said, "Why did you tell him?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "You told the preacher. You called him and said what we were talking about yesterday. Why did you tell him that? You shouldn't have told him that." And she said, "I didn't say that. I didn't talk to them at all. I didn't say anything about what it was." And that's what happens sometimes. We misplace thinking the preacher is pointing me out. He's singling me out. He's saying this, and it's against me. And I know why he's saying that, because of such and such or whatever. No, most of the time the preacher doesn't know anything about what's going on in your heart. And you don't recognize it. You think it's the preacher, and you don't recognize it's the Lord stirring you up. It's the Lord speaking to you. It's the Lord bringing to light that which is darkness in the heart. And he's making it known. And that's the Lord had begun to call that young man and to stir him up. Now again, in verse 6 and 7, "And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him." And so this young man didn't have the experience to know that the Lord speaks to his people through his word. Through his word, he calls his people and he reveals himself to them. And that's, we know this. This is our experience. We come and we hear the word preached as the sheep of his pasture. And he comes and feeds us with his word, nourishes us with his word, grows us up with that word of the gospel being preached to us. As Paul said, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And there's many scriptures that say we are fed and nourished by this same gospel word. Our Lord continues to grow us and teach us. And so if Christ has redeemed you with his blood, he's going to bring you under the gospel. He's going to call you by his gospel word, and he's going to teach you, and he's going to lead you by Christ. And you're going to see Christ and know him and follow him by his grace. All right, continuing back now in 1 Samuel 3:8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived. He perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And so he's instructing Samuel. He's giving him some instruction there. And the Lord came, it says, and stood, and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know, I love that it says here that the Lord came and stood. He stood here. Previously, he was just passing him by. He was just coming and going. And you see Samuel, this young man, he doesn't know what's going on. He's coming and going and running to and fro and all around trying to figure out what's going on. But now the Lord came and stood, because today was the day of grace for Samuel. Today was the day when the Lord would reveal himself more fully to Samuel's understanding. Paul said to the Thessalonians, right? This is what it is. It's God is speaking to the heart of his people. And when he speaks to your heart, it comes with power. It comes with power. And you hear it. And that word settles in good prepared ground by the Holy Spirit. For this cause also, Paul said to the Thessalonians 2:13, he said, "For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so our God brought salvation. When he purposes to do a thing, he does it. You're not going to get away. If you're the Lord's, if Christ redeemed you, if his blood was shed for you and washed away your sins, you shall hear, and that word shall be made effectual to your heart. The calling of God and what he gives, he doesn't repent of it. He doesn't turn from it. He doesn't take it back. It's given, because Christ has paid that price and obtained that redemption for you. All right, now in 1 Samuel 3:12. "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." You know, one thing that the Lord shows us is that this flesh is vile. This old man, like Eli, we are an old man of flesh without the ability to restrain the lusts and the passions of this flesh. We're not going to do it. We're not going to cleanse ourselves of all our sins and transgressions and trespasses and iniquities by the works of the flesh. It's not going to happen. We're like Eli, unable to restrain and constrain his sons. We can't constrain and restrain our sin. We cannot do it to the saving of our souls. But the Lord here, what he's showing us here, is he takes us from vain confidences in the flesh. He makes it so that we have no confidence in the flesh. And we see that all the religious things we did, like Paul in Philippians 3, all those things that we did are dung, because they don't save us. They're not our righteousness. They're not adding anything to what Christ and Christ alone has done and does do for his people. It's all to the praise and glory of Christ. And so removing the flesh, he settles us in Christ and gives you peace and joy in himself. Being confident of this very thing, Paul said, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. So Samuel, the next day, he told Eli faithfully what God revealed to him by his word. And that's what we do. We do when we have heard the gospel, we tell others of what we've heard, because there's wrath coming. There's wrath coming. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Romans 1:18, it's revealed. It's coming. And so we tell others of what he's done. The Lord said in verse 14, the latter half, he said, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. In other words, it's not going to be by the law. It's not going to be because people have a religion or that they have faith in something. That's not what saves. It's Christ who saves. And if you're his, if Christ has redeemed you, your faith is given and fixed in Christ. And you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no confidence in this flesh. Return to Christ. And so that's who we declare. In verse 18, the latter half, when Eli heard this, he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And that's just a picture that with the child of God, we receive what the Lord has said. And we trust the Lord that this flesh cannot save itself. We need his grace and mercy, because we're a savor of death unto death to some, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And Eli was at peace with what the Lord had said. Now dropping down to verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That is, God is faithful to keep his word. What he teaches you, what he shows you, he's faithful to that word, and nothing will fall or come short of what he's purposed to do in you by his son, Jesus Christ. He's not going to let Christ's words fall to the ground. It's not going to come short. He's going to bring to pass what he's promised to do. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And that's how our God does it. He reveals himself to you by the word, which speaks of Christ. And so this is more than just a historical calling of Samuel. It's a picture. It's given to show you the gospel of what Christ did for you by his death, when he redeemed his people with his own blood. And you that believe, Christ did that for you. That's why you believe, by his grace and power. And you're washed by that word, by the water of the word. You're washed and cleansed, renewed, made whole by Christ and Christ alone. I pray he blessed that word to your hearts, brethren. Amen.